All right. My name is Sister Holly Artis. So good to see everyone this morning. I'm so honored to be able to ask to speak to you ladies this morning. The Lord laid it on my heart months ago after they asked me to speak what He needed me to share with you ladies. So I believe that there is somebody here that needs to hear not only my testimony, but what God has dropped into my heart to share with you today. So not only am I going to share my testimony with you, but I'm going to tell you how the Lord helped me to overcome. And I believe it's going to help somebody here today. So I am the daughter of home missions pastors and pastor's wife. My mom and dad started 13 churches throughout the states of Alabama and Tennessee. Hi, ladies. Y'all come on in. In that process, they got very hurt. As often time happens, they had church hurt. And my dad became very bitter. He became very bitter against the church and very bitter against God for allowing those things to happen. And he backslid, and him and my mom ended up getting a divorce. And that's their testimony to tell. So I won't delve into that. So he wasn't around a whole lot because of the guilt and the shame ate at him over the years. You guys, come on in. So my mom was a single mom, and she was raising three kids alone. So being a single mom, and there may be some single moms in here, you know how difficult it can be to try to raise a family on your own and provide on your own. So I do want to preface everything that I say today by acknowledging I had a good, godly mother that did the very best that she could do with the circumstances she was in. She has now gone on to her reward. She was a mighty warrior in God, and I do not hold her at any fault for anything that happened. But sometimes life happens, and especially when a family is broken, that opens the door to a lot of things to come in. So being that my mom was a single mom, us three kids were left by ourselves a lot. We were left to our own a lot. And that opened up the door for sexual abuse in my life. The very first time that it happened, I honestly can't remember how old I was. It was a very young age. I may have been in first or second grade. This abuse would carry on throughout the majority of my childhood. You always ask, why didn't you tell someone? But when it's someone that's close to you, as a child, you have a moral dilemma that you don't want to destroy this person that you love because they are close to you. And as a child, I don't think you really have the right reasoning that we as adults have to know what to do in that situation. So the abuse would continue. Multiple times with multiple people throughout my entire childhood. And I never spoke of it to anyone. As a matter of fact, I had to warn some of my family members that's here today that God has prompted me to speak to you about things that I've never spoken before. So if it helps someone, then that's what we'll do. At the age of 12, I was sold or traded to our next door neighbor. And I was raped by this person over the majority of 2 years. Finally, at a point in my life, you just can't take that. And so I decided to just run away. I'll just run away from it all. I just run away from home. You know, that seems to be the reasoning when you don't know any answers. So, of course, you know, when you're 14 years old and you run away from home, you have no plans, you have no money. All you know is you're just trying to get out. I finally eventually had to call my mom to come get me. And, of course, I made up this, you know, crazy story. And it finally came out. I had to finally admit, okay, this is happening with the neighbor. I still haven't told her about any of the previous abuse. But I did tell about the neighbor. After turning to alcohol and drugs, because when you go through that in life, I'm not saying that's an excuse and that that's okay. I'm not justifying it, but you turn to what numbs the pain. And so I turn to alcohol and drugs at an extremely young age. At the age of 14, I was already addicted. That made me an easier target for sexual predators. And so it's like the abuse and that lifestyle just continued all throughout my teenage years until it was like, I just thought that was normal. I just thought, this is just how my life is. This is just how it is. This is just going to be something that I have to deal with. I would try to pray through, and I would get the Holy Ghost, and I would try to live for God with everything that I had. But the memories, the taunting, I didn't know how to live for God. And I know that probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us, since I'm obviously living for God today. But at that young of an age and going through everything that I went through mentally and emotionally, I did not know how to live for God. And in my mind, if I made one mistake, I had failed God and I was backslid. And then it was like I would start the whole process all over again. And it's like I could never find my place in Him. And it wasn't until years later that I finally understood why. At the age of 17, I finally met my husband. And he was not living for God. Didn't even know what truth was. But he was the first person, the first male that I'd ever encountered in my life that actually treated me with respect. He was the first, but he never tried to hold my hand. He never tried to kiss me. He never tried to do anything, to the point I questioned, is something wrong with me? You know, it was so unusual and out of the norm. And I think that's what made me fall in love with him. I can say it with you ladies, because he's not in here. I wasn't attracted to him. But that attracted me to him because he respected me. But after we got married, and I was 18 when we got married, the memories seemed to come more frequently. And of course, being married, there's going to be a lot of triggers there. My husband would just say things innocently, you know, a normal saying that we would all say every day, but it would trigger in my mind some of those instances that happened, and it was torment. I lived in torment of the memories. It was ruining my relationship. We had children. It was, unless you've been there, and probably there's a majority in here that has been there. Unless you've been there, it's hard to explain. And I wish I had the words to convey, you know, what you go through mentally and emotionally. It's difficult. I was on the verge of suicide, and I will never forget, I left my house and I had the gun with me. And for whatever reason, I went to a place where the abuse happened a lot. I went to the place, and I was there in my car, and I can remember having the gun out. And I held it to my head, and I told God, I said, I cannot live my life like this. I don't know how to get past it, because you don't forget. You do not just forget. When people say forgive and forget, there is no such thing. There's no such thing in life. You don't forget. And I remember telling God, I cannot live like this. You have got to help me. I wasn't living for him. I was still backslid. And I begged God to just take the memories away. Just help me to not even think about it. But for whatever reason, and we know the reason, I didn't do it. I thought, I have to get to my mom because I know that my mom can pray. I know that my mom can touch God for me. And so I remember I couldn't tell her. I didn't have the words. I did not have the words. I just went in and I just handed her the gun and turned around and left. So she called me later, and I tried to open up to her about the abuse that had happened, because I realized that I have to tell somebody. So I tried to tell her, but I could see the grief that it caused her. And you can imagine, if you have children, if your daughter came to you and told you that she had been molested almost her whole entire childhood. So I could see the hurt that caused my mom. And I couldn't tell her all of it. I couldn't. Because I knew that it would destroy her. So in 1999, God sent two dreams to me. And that's a testimony for another day. That's a testimony in itself that I would love to share, but I feel the Lord leading me in a different direction today. But God sent me two dreams. And the last dream, we were all in a place and God was coming back. And Shane Golden, I don't know if you guys know Brother Shane Golden, he was there, and he was on the phone with Bishop Wilbanks, and Bishop Wilbanks told him, says, Jesus is on his way. He's coming. And he hung up the phone and he says, that's it, y'all. Jesus is on his way. Are y'all ready to go? And it's like, I wasn't ready. And so in 1999, I came back to God and I prayed back through. And I wish I could tell you that once I prayed through to the Holy Ghost, that all of those memories and all of that hurt and all of the pain just disappeared. But it didn't. It didn't. But I was living for God with everything that I had in me. I was giving him my all. I was being used in the church. But at night when I would lay down, the memories would come. Finally, it was several years after I'd been in church. Brother James Hughes came and preached a message. And I think he may be a psychologist also. He preached a message about giving all of your hurt and all of your trauma to God. How you have to do that to truly be healed. And I never understood that, because I thought, well, I prayed through to the Holy Ghost. I gave my life to God. I repented of everything. but I wasn't truly healed. That was a room. He talked about, you know, you have to give it all to Him. You have to lay it all down at His feet. But that was a room that I kept locked away. And we didn't talk about that, and we didn't go in that room. That was a room that I kept all of my broken pieces in. And I locked that room, and I barricaded the door. I didn't want to go in there. I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to think about it. And I sure didn't want to tell the Lord about it. Because, yeah, it was done to me. But when you live in that, you still have so much shame and so much guilt. And you question, well, did I want that? I mean, did I do something that encouraged that? You know, did I dress a certain way? You just think these things. And so I didn't want to open it. And I didn't want Jesus to come in and see all the ugly. I didn't want Him to. It was bad enough that I had to deal with it. I didn't want Him to see it. So I didn't. I didn't do it at first. I couldn't. I could not make myself go there. But the Lord kept prompting me. And so one night in the middle of the night, when the memories were especially bad, I'll never forget. I just had to go into my bathroom. And there in the middle of the night, I had to rip myself open bare and just lay before the Lord. And I had to give Him all of it. All of it. I had to let Him in. And I had to let Him see all of the brokenness. And I had to let Him see all of that scar tissue that was there. And I had to show Him that I was really broken inside. I was really broken. But He's so gracious and He's so kind that He came in and He poured oil on my wounds and He bound up those broken pieces. And so the lifetime of being broken, God scooped all of that up. And He slowly began to put me back together. The other night my pastor preached a message and he read Luke 19 and 10. It says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, normally when we think of the word lost, we think something. If something is lost, it's misplaced or it's not where it's supposed to be. And so that's what we think when Jesus has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's looking for somebody that's not where they're supposed to be. They're misplaced. But He said, actually, the Greek word for lost there actually means destroyed, in pieces, broken. So if we read it like this, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was destroyed, in pieces, broken." He's come to seek those that's been broken. He's come to seek and to save and put back together those lives that's been destroyed by things that's not in your circumstances sometimes. Yes, yeah, sometimes we make a mess out of it, and He has to put those broken pieces back together too. But sometimes it's those things that's beyond our circumstance. So when I was preparing for this several months ago, I'll just be honest with you, I have the worst green thumb that there is. I kill everything that I have. But every year I try again. I bought this beautiful plant and I would go out and I would love it and, you know, try to water it. But I noticed it just wasn't, it has some blooms on it. It was still pretty, but it just wasn't thriving like it should. And so I noticed that the dirt was hard, even though I was watering it. The dirt was hard. And it was only like watering the top layer of it. And so I thought, I'm going to have to dig down in there because that water isn't getting down into the roots of it. So as I began to dig in that plant, I had to break up some of the stuff that had grown on the top of it. And it was some of the plant. I had to break it and I had to tear it apart and I had to get down in there and dig in the dirt so that the water could get into it. And it's like the Lord spoke to me and he reminded me of that night that I had to let him in and I had to let him dig down in me. Because even though I was living for God and at first glance, everything looked like it was okay. I was being used by God. You know, I'm being a praise singer. I'm teaching Sunday school. I'm helping with the kids. So on the surface, everything looked okay. Everything looked fine. But down deep, I wasn't thriving. I wasn't getting the water all the way down to my roots so I could grow and thrive. And so it wasn't until God took me that night and I allowed him to start digging away all that scar tissue and digging all of those memories and all of that hurt and all of that pain away. It wasn't until then that the water could truly get down in my soul and water, and then I began to thrive, and then God could use me in ways, and then now I can stand here today before you, and those memories in the past, they don't have a hold on me anymore. Like, I can talk about it, and I grieve for the little girl, and I grieve for that teenager that went through that, but you know what? I'm not traumatized by that anymore because, yes, that happened to me, but that's not who I am. See, a lot of times we have trauma that happens to us, and it's real. I am not discounting anything that's ever happened to anybody because it is real. The pain is real. Okay, but what happens is sometimes we use that as a cloak. And we say, this is my trauma. This is my hurt. This is my pain. Until that becomes us, that's who we are. And please don't take this the wrong way. I know that the circumstance was traumatic. I know a young mom that went through severe trauma with her first child. Severe trauma. The baby was born extremely early. And she still to this day has so many medical problems. But that mom has taken on the persona of, that's who I am. I went through that, and this is my lot in life, is to carry this, to carry my trauma. And I grieve for her. I grieve for her because, no, yeah, that happened, and it was so bad, and my heart breaks for her, and my heart breaks for that child. But no, God has so much more than that. God has so much more out there. God can use what happened to you to make you into something great that can help somebody else. But he can't as long as you keep it inside. As long as you keep those broken pieces in that little room, he cannot come in and help you get past that. I gotta check my timer. Okay, I'm okay. They shouldn't have gave me 40 minutes. But that's hard. I'm not gonna stand here today and tell you that, just say, oh, well, just give it to Jesus and then you'll be okay. I'm not gonna lie to you. It's brutal. Okay? Because you don't want to go back to your trauma. You don't want to pull the scab off and make it new and fresh because that's painful. Okay, it's human nature to want to avoid pain, to run from pain. Okay, it's brutal, it's painful. But until we allow God to cut all of that out and dig it out, we're always going to be stuck there. We can't truly heal, and we could eventually die spiritually. And so you might ask, well, okay, you said you just gave it to God. No, when I say I gave it to God, and I had to literally open it up, say, okay, God, this happened this time. I told him what happened. I told him when it happened. I told him every emotion I had about it. I gave him all the guilt. I gave him all the rage that I had, all of the hate, all the bitterness. I even gave him my anger towards him for not protecting me. And you say, you know, we always kind of back up and say, you know, we can't talk to God like that because he's God. You know, we don't question God. You know, you talk to God respectful, and you do. You do. Please don't get me wrong. But I had to give him everything. I could not leave one thing hidden. And that was something that I had covered up. And I just said, God, I told him. I said, God, my mom was a prayer warrior. I know she prayed for us kids. Why didn't you protect me? Why didn't you come in? Why didn't you stop what was happening? Because you could have done it. I was as honest with him as I could be. Because I thought, if I'm ever going to get this out, if I'm ever going to get it out, if I'm ever going to get over it, then I have to give it all. I have to bear it all. And I said, God, you were supposed to protect me. I was a child. There was nothing I could do. Even the very people that was supposed to protect me didn't protect me. Where were you? And so let me just tell you something today. God is not shocked easy. Okay, you're not going to shock him by telling him that you were angry with him. And you know what? He can handle it. He can handle it. He's got real big shoulders. He can handle you being mad at him. And you know what? He needs you to give that to him because you're not really hiding it from him. Yes, he knew every little thing that happened to me. He knew every circumstance. But he needed me to give it to him because he can't heal what you don't give to him. So, God doesn't scare easy. He's not going to be scared by your anger. He's not going to be scared by your hurt at him. But once I got it all out, I'm not going to say it was instantaneous, but I will say that in that very moment, I could feel the healing balm wash over me. I felt it. And it was a process. Didn't just happen overnight, but God did heal me. And it does not have a hold on me anymore. No longer has a hold on me. All of those broken pieces belong to Jesus. Those memories that I had covered up and barricaded in that room, they can't come out and torment me anymore because I let Jesus in that room and he guards that room now and none of that can come out. Those are his. So I'm here to tell you, I know not everybody in this room today has been sexually abused or raped. Your hurt might be something else. Your pain might be something else. That doesn't make it any greater or any less than mine. It's just as real. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus can heal every single part of it. Whatever that hurt is, whatever that pain is, he can heal every little bit of it. There's not one thing he can't heal. The only thing he can't heal is what you don't give to him.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you, it's not easy, and I know we've got a big day today, but I want you to find a place, to get with him and bear it all to him. Give it to him. Make yourself raw before the Lord and tell him, God, that brokenness, that hurt, I don't want to carry it anymore, because he didn't mean for you to carry it. He did not mean for you to carry it. I want to close by reading the lyrics to a song that the Wolbanks singers wrote the first time I heard it. It spoke to me on a level that only those that have been broken can truly understand. It says, come, all who are weary, lay down your burdens, and he will give you rest. Come, all who are wounded, praying for healing from every mess you've made. No, he will never turn you away. Because he does beautiful things with broken pieces. What others abandon, he mends and restores. Wait till you see what he can do with hopeless. You were never meant. No, you were never meant to stay broken. Bring every question, the doubts that have whispered, you'll never be whole again. Bring the fear that you've been fighting, the chains that you've been hiding, all of the shameful sins and mistakes. Just let Jesus take it away. Let it go, the pain that's deep inside. Let it go, the fear you've tried to hide. Let it go, the struggle that no one sees. Let it go, and let it guide you to your knees. Let it go, you are not a hopeless cause. Let it go, just leave it at the cross. Because he does beautiful things with broken pieces. What others abandon, he mends and restores. Wait till you see what he can do with hopeless. Because you were never meant. You were never meant to be broken. As I was praying this morning for these services, praying for each and every one of you here, I began to pray against depression and against fear and anxiety and against emotional trauma that has people captured. And as I began to pray against emotional trauma, the Lord showed me the spirit of emotional trauma that has people bound up, and it had its bags packed. So I'm here today to speak to every spirit of emotional trauma that has got a hold of you. Every hurt, every pain, every emotion. I'm here to speak to it today. And I'm telling it to pack its bags and leave, because you're no longer welcome here. So can we pray before we're dismissed? In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you, Lord, for visiting us this morning. I thank you for every person that's in this room, God. Lord, you knew who would be here, God, and you knew who needed to hear what you had to say. God, I plead your blood over each and every one of these ladies. God, you know the hurt. You've seen it, God. Lord, you've seen the emotional trauma that they've had to deal with. God, you told me, Lord, you showed me today, God, that its bags are packed, God. It's just waiting, Lord. It's just waiting on them to open up the door. I pray for each and every one of these ladies, God, that they would open up the door to you today, God, and let you walk in the room, Jesus. Let you walk in the room. God, I know it's hard. I know it's hard, God. It's brutal. God, give them the strength to do it, Lord. Give them the strength to let you walk in, God, and see the ugliness, the shame, God, the hurt, Lord. But God, you're a caring God. You are a compassionate God. You are a kind God. Lord, come in, Jesus, and take every broken piece, God. Lord, you are the potter. You are the potter, and we are the clay, God. Come in and take every broken piece, God, and make it into something beautiful. God, make it into something beautiful for your kingdom. God, let these ladies thrive in the Holy Ghost. God, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing it, God. We're thanking you in advance. Thank you for healing, God. I loose the healing balm of Gilead, Lord. I loose it in the name of Jesus. God, we give you all of the glory. Thank you for it, God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, ladies, for coming and let me speak to you today. I hope I can help somebody and let you know that there is hope. Amen.